Hey everyone, my name is Brad. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from same-sex attraction and shame. Yeah. Growing up, I was known as the good kid and found my identity in trying to be perfect and following the rules. My family went to church every Sunday, and I accepted Christ around the age of second grade. I knew that I was a sinner and believed that Jesus paid the penalty of my sin through his death on the cross, so that I could live forever with God. But I didn't know how to live out my faith. Christianity seemed to be all about following the rules, mostly a list of things not to do. If I didn't have sex, do drugs, or drink alcohol, then I was good. I knew what not to do, but I didn't know what to do. Around the age of 12, I sought out pornography online and ended up looking at gay porn. This was the start of my struggle with same-sex attraction. My parents monitored my internet activity, so they saw what I was looking at and confronted me. They told me to stop looking at porn and then said, "You're not gay." That was the only conversation we ever had about it. It was clear to me that this struggle was something that couldn't be talked about and that I just needed to not be gay. In an attempt to follow the rules, I compartmentalized my life. On the outside, I tried to be good enough for God and everyone else. I looked like a model kid who never got into trouble. But on the inside, I fed my struggle through porn and masturbation. I hid from everyone, terrified of being found out. I believed that no one could know me, know my struggle with same-sex attraction, and still love me. From 12 to 27, I never talked about my struggle with anyone. By God's grace, I have not acted out on my struggle, but it still felt like God had cursed me. I didn't understand why I had to struggle with same-sex attraction. I would have rather struggled with nearly anything else. While I would have never used these words back then, I believe that God didn't really love me. He just tolerated me. I believe that he didn't have good in store for me. I'd have to settle for half of a life. God used the conflict of my compartmentalized life, my isolation from everyone, in my attempt to control everything to bring me to my rock bottom, and he met me there. He opened my eyes to see that I was living a shell of a life. I had always felt disqualified from living a good, full life because of my struggle, but God hadn't disqualified me. In John 10:10, Jesus says that he came that I may have life and have it abundantly. I had disqualified myself. I held myself back, enslaved to shame and fear. I was terrified that I'd end up alone, rejected by everyone. The irony is that I was alone because I was rejecting everyone in an attempt to protect myself. The question that I couldn't escape was how long? How long was I going to live a shell of a life, unable to trust God and unable to be loved by anyone? How long was I going to forfeit the abundant life that Christ had purchased for me? I had promised myself I was taking this secret to the grave. But God used Proverbs 28:13 to encourage me to confess. It says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." So in December 2015, I confessed to my friend. Much to my surprise, he didn't run for the hills. He looked me in the eyes and said that my struggle didn't define me. It was a huge burden lifted off my shoulders. For the first time in 15 years, I was honest and I was known. That was when I committed to start attending Regeneration. My first night at Regen was hard. I didn't want to tell complete strangers about my struggle. This was going to ruin the reputation that I'd worked so hard to create. I knew that I needed to be there, but everything in me screamed to walk out the doors. I decided to trust God and to dedicate my Monday nights to seeking him and his healing. I repeated those words to myself every Monday night, no matter how badly I didn't want to come. Once I got placed in a step group, I thought steps 1 through 3 would be easy. I was a Christian. I knew all the right answers. But those steps wrecked me. God showed me the stark contrast between what I knew to be true and what I actually believed. I knew God loved me and had good in store for me, but the way I lived my life showed that I doubted God's willingness to save me, heal me, or provide for me in the present moment. Psalm 103, 2 through 5 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. In the present moment, God loves, forgives, heals, saves, pursues, and seeks to satisfy me with good. God doesn't just tolerate me. He didn't curse me with my struggle. He cares for me. He is willing and able to heal me. Upon the foundation of God's goodness, I was able to face inventory and confession. These were the steps I was most concerned about going into regen. How was I going to be that honest and vulnerable? What would my mentor think of me? Because of the reality of God's love for me, I was able to face steps 4 and 5. Confession was a turning point for me. Someone knew the worst of me, yet loved me and sought to help me work through the brokenness. I wasn't alone. God and God's people were with me. The most challenging step for me was step 8, amends. God convicted me to make amends with my family. This meant booking a flight home to California. I confessed my struggle, owned my rejection of my family because of my own fear of rejection, and asked for forgiveness. I also acknowledged hurts from the past that they had played a part in. It was hard, but it brought me closer to them and helped to continue to rob fear and shame of their power over me. Other amends conversations did not go so well. Oddly enough, though, I do not regret these amends at all. Even in the midst of a less than a desirable response, it was totally worth it. God used amends to humble me, break down my defenses, and free me from shame. God used the 12 steps in regen to change my life. I'm obviously not perfect. I'm not sinless, but I do sin less. I've experienced long seasons of freedom from pornography and masturbation. It's a daily fight for a pure mind and a right heart, but God helps me to fight. I'm quick to confess when I'm struggling or when I fall to temptation. God is opening my eyes to see sins that seem relatively smaller, but contribute to my primary sin struggles in major ways. Shame, feeling different, fear, and perfectionism continue to be challenging for me. But these challenges are now an opportunity for me to trust and depend on God. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" The area that God has changed my heart and mind the most is being vulnerable and authentic with others. It has been 6 years since I confessed my struggle for the first time. In these 6 years, I've had many opportunities to share my testimony with others. If I'm honest, I still don't like to share. I feel anxious and doubt myself each time. But it's God's story of grace, not my own. And I've seen God use it to break down barriers and invite others to be vulnerable. The most unexpected change that has happened since finding freedom in Christ through regen is that last November, I married an amazing, godly woman. Jen, I'm unbelievably grateful for you. I'm now coaching a couple groups of men through the 12 steps. I get the opportunity to partner with your leaders as they shepherd all of you through regen. The best part of serving in regen is getting a front row seat to see God changing and redeeming each one of you. To conclude, the regen steps aren't magic. They won't heal you or set you free, but God can use them to change your life. When I started regen, I was a slave to shame and fear. I struggled to trust God, found my identity in what others thought of me, and tried to control every aspect of my life. Because of Christ, I'm no longer a slave to my shame, fear, or feelings. I'm free to live, to be known, to love God, and to be loved by God. I was once defined by my sin, but because of Christ, God sees me as a blameless and beloved child. He's still working on my heart, but he has brought me from absolute bondage to a place where I can say in front of all of you that my name is Brad, I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from same-sex attraction and shame. Christ has set me free. Thank you.